This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Boy, that was a full 4 o'clock hour. Suze News, Paul Hall, and Frank Cusimano, appreciative of all of them joining, regardless of Mark being gone. You can go back and listen to those on the free Odyssey app once they're up later. Obviously, they're not right now because the one that will be podcasting them is still hosting. I am Ethan Hannaford. Sue Thomas is with me as well. And joining us in studio, always a pleasure to have on, the one and only Matt Pauly, KMOX Sports Person. Personality, pre- and post-game host for the Cardinals Radio Network and host of the Gas House Gang podcast. Matt, it's a pleasure as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Enjoy. I'm glad that you're getting to do this. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is fun to get the opportunity, and you know, we've worked together a lot, and it's fun to be on this side a little bit. So I got to start off with You sound a little bit tired. Sounds like you've been talking for a little while, and I've been made aware you've been hosting the Dave Glover Show over on KMOX last couple days.
Yeah, Bernie Miklas and myself did. It was kind of a sports-intensive Gas House Gang takeover edition of Dave Glover Show, so it sounded a little different than the normal DGS, but it was fun. If nothing else, yeah, I grew up reading and listening to Bernie, and we've been doing the Gas House Gang together, but there's only so much that you can really like connect with somebody when you talk to them for a few minutes on a video screen before the thing goes live. So to get to know Bernie a little bit over the last couple days more and more, and then do some radio with him, it's been a lot of fun.
I got to say that sounds really cool when it comes down to the legend Bernie Miklas. So congratulations to you on that and being able to do that. How was Christmas for you?
You know what? It was good because it was Christmas, and I've got two young daughters, and just watching them enjoy Christmas is awesome. I've got a 5-year-old and a 6-month-old, so one of them got to experience Christmas for a first time. But the day before, no, on the 23rd, my oldest daughter got strep throat.
Uh-oh.
On New Year's Eve, my wife got very, very sick.
Christmas Eve,
that's what I mean. On Christmas Eve, she got terribly sick. And then my youngest daughter got sick as well, where she had a temperature. So it was an interesting Christmas in the Paul. I was the only one not to get sick.
Pauly household is batting 1-for-4.
Yeah.
Not a great batting average. Well, probably league average at this point.
Petri dish, Pauly household.
That is no bueno. Is everyone back to health now?
Mostly. There was some doctor appointments this morning to try to get everybody back going. So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we hope that the Pauly household.
How was yours?
It was great. Okay. It was great. First Christmas married.
Yeah.
So that was nice. We spent it with my family's home on the Illinois side, and then her family came in town yesterday. So Christmas part two tonight.
Okay.
So see what Santa Claus brought here after we get off. So looking forward to that. So I'm curious. Yesterday, December 26th, Ozzie Smith's 70th birthday. I just asked Cusimano this, and he had a pretty darn good story.
Okay.
Talked about some golfing with Ozzie Smith. This is his favorite memory that he has spent with the Wizard. And you have, you know, you've been all over the place, but you spend a good chunk of your life here in St. Louis. And I know that you were a fan of Ozzie's growing up. What is your favorite memory of Ozzie Smith?
Yeah, so that's an interesting question because, first off, it's been cool. Like in this job, I've gotten to know him a little bit, which is when you think about who Ozzie Smith is and him being, even before you're a baseball fan growing up, if you're in St. Louis in that time, you know who Ozzie Smith is. So my favorite baseball team of all time, the team that caused me to just fall in love with baseball and fall in love with the Cardinals, was that 96 team, which was his final year playing. And what I really remember about that year, he had a really good season that year, and he split time with Royce Clayton. But that year and that the final series of that year ended up being a really important thing for me, understanding St. Louis baseball and the way fans are. Because that year, the Cardinals, on the final home weekend of the year, it was Ozzie Smith weekend. And all three games were dedicated to Ozzie and what he was able to do. And I remember getting tickets and going to all three games and just thinking how cool it was that an individual could be honored in that way for three whole days. So this isn't an exact moment, but I think as I was young growing up, so in 96, I would have been 14 years old and I was still learning about Cardinal baseball. That was one of those weekends where I really saw what being a Cardinal fan really, really means, honoring a guy like Ozzie.
That is a really cool story, and that was pre-Ethan in the world, so yeah. I wasn't even aware that they had an Ozzie Smith weekend. I've seen the videos of his exit from the field of play. I mean, and it all looks absolutely amazing. And you think about it, you think of this legacy that is the St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Fame and the Red Jackets and all these guys coming through on opening day. And a lot of these big-name guys within the last 10 years, but even some of them more recently, you know, you think Stan, you think Red Shandies, mm-hmm. but then you go Lou and Bob Gibson and Bruce Sutter. A lot of them have passed away, and you think about it, not that he wasn't in that top tier, because he most definitely was, but now, I mean, at this point, as far as the great Cardinal Hall of Famers that kind of stand alone as the all-time greats, he's one of the few kind of right now that represents that for the Cardinals that are still living.
Yeah, opening day feels different with those guys that you just mentioned not being there. I mean, I can remember sitting at an opening day for the first time ever and hearing the fans go, Lou, mm-hmm. and asking my dad, like, what, why? And, you know, he explained it to me.
I thought they were booing the first time it happened.
A lot of people think that. It sounds that way. So I don't want to say that the Cardinals have a problem, but I think it's a difference where there's two things that are happening. There are some, you know, Albert's going to be in the Hall of Fame. Yachty's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think Wainwright's going to get there, but I guess I could be a little bit wrong on that. I'd love to be wrong on that one. There's not as many of these like legendary type players that are around, and a lot of the alumni, not as many of them are staying in St. Louis post playing career as well. So that's something that is changing. I don't think it's changing for the good. Hopefully, with this next era of Cardinals baseball, we can get back to a lot more of those legendary type players being with the team.
We jump into some of the latest news. It's been a little bit slower, I guess, with the Christmas season these last several days. But prior to that, things were moving fast. We had the stuff with Nolan Arenado. Paul Goldschmidt becomes a New York Yankee. First, we'll start off with Goldie. I mean, we've known for the last couple of months that he was not going to return, that the Cardinals were moving on from him. But what a career that he had in St. Louis, Matt.
Yeah, and you're disappointed that they did not accomplish more from a postseason perspective,
no doubt.
With Goldschmidt and Arenado. But you talk about a guy who wore the birds on the bat the right way and always represented himself and the team well. He did that. And even last year, which was a down year for him, he still led the team in home runs. There's some things he has to clean up and get better at. He has to not swing at pitches out of the zone. He has to swing at pitches in the zone. But you look at some of the underlying numbers with bat speed, what happens when he makes contact. There's no guarantee that he has a bounce back year, but some of those numbers would say he is likely to have that, and there's going to be less pressure for him in New York. He's going to be down in the order. That could look like a one-year $12.5 million contract for the Yankees is absolutely nothing.
That's change.
Yeah. If it goes really bad really early and they had to like walk away from it, it would be nothing to them. But I think at the end of the season, there's a pretty good chance that they're going to look at that $12.5 million and feel like that was money pretty well spent.
And you think about a guy that is so mentally stable, and throughout the highs that we saw in 2022 in his MVP season to the struggles of last year and even some of the year before, I mean, the same guy mm-hmm. every day in the clubhouse regardless.
Yeah, and you know it as well as anybody because you were in the clubhouse after the vast majority of home games. He didn't like talking with the media, but he never ducked the media. He never refused to answer. He wasn't the best quote. Like his sound bites were not exactly the greatest sound bites.
Sorry,
in the
I tried the best
world.
I could.
No, well, you did as well as you could with what you were working with. If you ever got him like away from a microphone, it was a little bit different for sure. But he is just a stand-up guy from a leadership standpoint. He did a lot of things that people are not aware of. And I always kind of felt bad for both him and Arenado because last season there was so much attention on, well, the Cardinals need to bring in leadership into the clubhouse. What Goldschmidt and Arenado is not doing, it's not enough. I think I think that was an indictment on them that was not fair. I think they were leading in their own kind of way, and they just wanted people who were maybe a little bit more vocal, but that doesn't mean that those guys were not doing things from a leadership capacity.
I think the last time that you joined with Reardon and I on air was right before the Nolan Arenado stuff got really crazy. Now, at that point, the winter meetings had just concluded, and the Cardinals had made it clear that they were going to trade Arenado. And I think, and you had talked about how you expected this to happen really fast.
Yeah.
And you weren't entirely wrong, because a trade did happen. It just wasn't approved.
Right. And I don't know when it's going to happen now. Like, I was very confident at the time that this was something that was going to move very quickly, and I didn't think that he was still going to be a Cardinal by Christmas, and he's still a Cardinal, and we're past Christmas, and now I would think this thing is going to last into the new year. Although, like, if my phone went off right now and I got a notification that said Nolan Arenado has been traded to wherever, it would not shock me. It's a really unique situation, because we're still waiting for the Bregman thing to get figured out and where he's going to end up signing. There's teams that seemingly Arenado is the second choice, and until that first choice of Bregman ends up going somewhere. And the thing that's really frustrating is the amount of misinformation there is out there, because one report will say that the Cardinals have talked to the Yankees about it, and then one report will say, no, that's not the case at all, that there's absolutely no interest. And it's not just the Yankees. It's been that way. You know, one report will tell you that the Padres have interest in him, especially if he's willing to go over and play first base. Another report will tell you, well, the Padres are going to drop payroll this year, so that's not really possible. There's just been so many things where there's been two sides to the story, and each side of the story have been reputable, good, insiding reporting that you see guys breaking stories. So this is one where I don't think he's going to be a Cardinal next year. I'm pretty sure he's still going to get traded. But the turn that this has taken really post-winter meetings has been interesting.
You know, I think that something that is also a little bit interesting with this is that, you know, that John Mozeliak was able to get the deal that he specifically got. Now, we don't know the full details of what that trade included, but we know that the Cardinals were going to eat a little bit of that contract, but not as much as I thought that they would necessarily have to. We don't know what the return would have been prospect-wise, but I think that, you know, as from what we know, that has to be a pretty good, I guess I would say, structure of a deal that you'd want to hopefully be able to make to happen eventually.
Maybe, unless the Astros were the only team that was willing to do that. That might be the holdup here, that there's not another team in baseball that's willing to eat all but $15 to $20 million of his contract. So at that point, you're the Cardinals. You say, well, do we just sit on this and see if there's a third baseman injury in spring training that lifts his value again? Do we try again at the trade deadline? Like, what? One of the things that really struck me when John Mozeliak was talking about this at the winter meetings, he said, look, we need to drop payroll. And we'd like to trade Nolan Arenado. That would accomplish that goal. But there's other ways we can do this. When he says there's other ways we can do this, so if we're talking about this from a position of reality, because that's how we need to come at it in reality.
Sure.
They are dropping payroll this year. So if you're a Cardinal fan and you want Nolan Arenado to remain a Cardinal, well, that means some other salary is going to come off the books. And that might mean it's more likely to trade Ryan Helsley. Who actually is more valuable to the Cardinals in terms of getting them wins? Is it Arenado or is it Helsley? Especially when you're still probably going to move on from Arenado at some point. There's a lot of people that say, well, trade Miles Michaelis. Well, Michaelis has a no trade. And I don't think he has shown any willingness at this point to waive the no trade. So for all the people that out there that want to, you know, send text messages into KMOX and want to tweet back, oh, we'll just trade Michaelis. Like, it's not that easy. And I don't know who's picking up Michaelis and who's going to pick up that salary. First, you know, he's been one of the two or three worst pitchers in baseball from an ERA standpoint over the last couple of years. So getting anybody to eat that salary is going to be challenging. And he has to approve a trade, which doesn't seem likely at this point.
Yeah, that's the toughest part about that, it seems. And it's going to be interesting to see where all of this goes with Nolan Arenado. And eventually, if, you know, we don't know if the Astros would even be an option at this point with the Christian Walker signing now. Yeah. And, you know, those
that
teams.
That pushes Paredes back to third. There is no room for Arenado, because if Arenado goes there, Isak Paredes goes over to first base. Now that they've got Walker, there's no room at the end for Nolan Arenado.
Which makes you think, you know, it makes you wonder, is he going to end up being back with the Cardinals. And I think that when Christian Walker signed with Houston, those odds had to at least a fair amount decrease back to there's a chance he stays with St. Louis.
Yeah, so the problem with that was when there's dominoes that need to fall in terms of the third baseman that are still out there and available. Well, a domino fell in Houston that closed off Houston, but you didn't reduce the number of third basemen that were available because it was a first baseman that basically closed off third base in Houston. So that was not a good scenario for the Cardinals because you want there to be more third base opportunities and less third basemen available, and that sort of situation does the exact opposite.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. Matt Pauly, before we wrap up here, we've talked about my podcast. I do the Loose Sports Talk, and on our Christmas season, we always get a little bit festive, and we do a Christmas wish list episode specifically for St. Louis sports. I'm curious, for whether it be the Cardinals, the Blues, heck, you can get into St. Louis City, the Battlehawks for all I care. Is there something that you are hoping for specifically in 2025 that one of these teams can do that better projects them eventually to getting closer to a championship?
I mean, the obvious answer is with the Cardinals and getting player development and getting players role. But when you talk about 2025, you know, I want to see Chaffetz Arena just rocking with great SLU basketball. It is such
a good one.
That's where I would go with this because it's going to take a little while longer, I think, for the Cardinals. We thought that SLU was going to like just turn a corner with Schertz coming in and the players that he brought in. It's taken a little longer than anybody expected, but that there is something special in the city of St. Louis when SLU basketball is a top 25 team and their home arena is rocking.
I completely agree with that. Great points. Matt Pauly, where can people find the Gas House Gang podcast?
All the KMOX Sports social media channels. We do it live Monday through Friday. Not this week and the next week where, you know, it's holiday period, but once we come out of the holidays, we'll be back live at 12 noon on the social media channels. You can listen to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and then a replay generally is at 8 o'clock over on KMOX.
Paulie, a pleasure as always. Thanks so much for joining.
Anytime. Thanks, Ethan.
Coming up next, more Best Ofs right here on the Mark Reardon Show.
Get more at 971talk.com.